Maybe you've even taught that. I don't know. But there's just a few problems with that view. The first one is there's no scriptural basis for it. In the Old Testament, if you look at it, there's really only one passage in the Old Testament, all right, that kind of might give a negative view of shepherds, and it wasn't from the Israelites. It was from the Egyptians. You know, when Jacob comes in, and he's going to go visit his son, and he's bringing all his people, and where are we going to put all these people? Oh, my goodness, how many kids do you have? Oh, they're shepherds. Oh, let's put them way over out there. We don't want them around us, but that wasn't Israel. In fact, some of the most important, influential, intelligent, rich people were shepherds. Think of Job. How about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? How about King David? He started his career as a shepherd. How about the prophet Amos? There's no negative view of shepherds. In fact, it was kind of an honorable profession in many ways. And if you, all right, let's go to the New Testament then. Well, what does the New Testament have to say? Nothing negative. Nothing at all. In fact, if you read the comments about shepherds, usually it's used in an imagery kind of a sense, and it's always positive. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Pastors are supposed to be shepherds who shepherd their flock. There's nothing negative about a shepherd necessarily. So that's kind of the first thing. But the second thing is in the text itself. In fact, I can read a little bit here where it talks about when they come in, it says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. Now, if shepherds were such outcasts, such people that were looked down upon in society, why in the world were they allowed in this scene to begin with? You would have thought Joseph would have said, oh, no, I don't want them guys in here. Get them out of here. No, they were invited on in. In fact, it seems like on the way in, while they were there, and on the way out, the shepherds were all part of this, and it was not negative at all. I kind of like these guys. Imagine going to work, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up. Can you imagine? That's what happened to them. So we have these shepherds, and so maybe God chose these shepherds, and it had less to do with their position in society, as we like to think, well, they're lowly, and that's why. Maybe it had to do more with their reaction to what was said. I want to just go just for a minute and think about Mary. Why Mary? Why not Rebecca? Why not Susan? Why not Marcia? Marcia, Marcia. Why Mary? Well, we aren't told, except we get a clue from her response to the announcement. She's kind of curious, but she's very humble, and she's very open to it. And she gives glory to God. And now we're starting to get a picture. Oh, this girl is something special. She doesn't do like some of the others and question and argue. And what are you talking about? And I don't believe you. She says, okay, whatever, Lord, you want. The shepherds here are kind of in the same way. We really aren't told why. Really, the bottom line is we don't know exactly why, other than their response kind of gives a clue. These guys, first they were probably in awe. Whoa. Wow, this is amazing. They believed it. They accepted it. And they went. Do you realize, if you read the text, they were never commanded to go. The angels didn't say go. They just said what was where they were at. And this is what you will find. Okay. We're out of here. We got to see this. And all along the way, and as you see it in that text again, they were doing what? They were telling some amazing things. And in fact, at the end, it says they were praising God. These guys are amazing. Willing to follow, not to argue. Now, the spot where they were, the historians and scholars tell us that this was kind of the place where sheep were raised for the purpose, sole purpose, of providing lambs and sheep for the great Passover every year. It was kind of located between Jerusalem and Bethlehem on that field there. So these were special shepherds, probably told exactly what to look for. So their job was to care for them, protect them, feed them, do everything they could, and to inspect. Because we know from scriptures they had to be without spot and blemish. So that's what they did. They had to really inspect and make sure this was going to work, because God only accepts a perfect sacrifice. It's interesting that the Apostle Peter writes about this, not that particular thing, but about the idea of God only accepting what's perfect. He says here in his letter, he says, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold." You can't buy your way to God. "But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb," here it is, "without blemish or spot." So they were inspectors. So in the same way that these shepherds were raising these sheep for slaughter for the temple, Jesus was being born down the road. And he was being raised as a lamb for slaughter. Just a few miles apart. That's what we have. So it seems to me like these shepherds, when they're coming, are simply doing what they've always done. They're coming to inspect. We're going to go take a look at this thing. This has got to be amazing. What? Son of God? Really? Without spot or blemish? Well, I'm good at that. Let's go find out. And here they come. And there they are. There's a great passage in the book of Hebrews. It says this. And it says why we needed Christ versus just the lamb. It says, "For if the sprinkling of, ceremonially sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of cows is sufficient for the cleansing of the body." In other words, If that what they were doing at the temple and the slaughtering and the shedding of the blood was something that would temporarily cover them on the outside from God's wrath, it says, "How much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit willing offered himself unblemished to God, how much more the blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God." And so here we have Jesus is both sheep and shepherd. Strange. He's sheep being offered as a sacrifice to be presented to God because he's perfect. He's without spot. He's without blemish. And God can only accept a perfect sacrifice. And if you and I are here today and we're trusting in anything else, you know, trusting in, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to give the gold and silver and all that stuff. And I'm just going to live my life the best I can. The problem with that, it's no better than a lamb that was just slaughtered because it only covers the outside. You and I need a change from the inside.
Right.
Christ offers that. That was the difference. That's why when he died on the cross and shed his blood, the Lamb of God could take away the sin of the world by those who would trust in him and him alone. Not the idea of Jesus, the historical Jesus, even though he's truly a person in history, he's also a person in the present and for eternal future. And if you're here today and you have not trusted in that Lamb of God, the Bible has something to say to you that you can find eternal forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So maybe in the same way, the angels, except the Holy Spirit now, might be talking to you. There are no... We have a choir, and they are angelic, aren't they? But from heaven, it's now calling you to come to not the manger, come to the cross. There you'll find the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. And the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be clean from the inside out. And that's what we need. But how about you, Christian? What does this text say to you? What do the shepherds have to say to us? Let me just look at this one verse. Verse 20 says that after the shepherds had their visit, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. Which seems pretty evident, doesn't it? You and me can follow the example of the shepherds. If you're a believer here and you've been to the manger, Christ has brought you to himself, you've been to the cross, you've been to that empty tomb, you have something to rejoice about. And so you and I then, what are our marching orders? Well, we're to get up from our fields and we're to go out and see this thing and tell others that Jesus is alive and he offers eternal life to all who believe. That's what we could do. These shepherds didn't just go and see all this and say, man, this is an amazing scene. All right, guys, let's go back to work. I think people can do that sometimes in church all the time. I think people get blessed. I think they get excited. I think they learn something in church. But they go to church or whatever it is. They go to a Christian concert or even their devotions. They get all fired up. And they go, yes, Lord. And they walk away. That's going to work. And what the shepherds are teaching us is, no, take the manger, the cross, and the tomb with you when you go. For you're not the same anymore. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are God's. So, Christian, the message for us is, are we doing what the shepherds did? They weren't expecting that. I mean, a lot could happen when you go to work. Expecting a normal night and boom, life change. Just for a moment, if everyone would just bow their heads and close their eyes, there might be someone here this morning who watching or in person that has never really understood that salvation isn't really a religious thing in the sense of I show up to church and I do church things and I live my life, I try to think good thoughts and do good things. Man, I'm glad you're doing all that, but you got to understand none of that brings you to God. Nothing. That's like a lamb, an earthly lamb. It doesn't do anything for you eternally. But what can change your life is if you'll come to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so I offer to you today simply this message. Christ died for your sins and mine according to the Scripture. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the Scripture. And he's calling you to believe in that, that is trust in him, not in your works, not in what you can do, but trust in him and him alone for your salvation. And you can do that right where you're at, wherever you're at. You can simply say from your heart, because words won't save, faith saves. And you can direct this to the Lord and say, Lord God in heaven, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus in that manger to grow up, become a man and to die on the cross for my sins and to pay for my sins that I deserve to pay for. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life, for I'm trusting in you and what you did alone to save me. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you meant it, welcome to the family of God. Christians, are we taking this scene with us wherever we go? Let's pray our prayer today and ask the Lord to help us to take the example of the shepherds and to move forward in faith, rejoicing and proclaiming to all who would listen, salvation has come. His name is Jesus, and he will save you from your sins. Father, we give you praise for this great message, and I pray this Christmas we will remember to always keep Christ in it, not just on that day, but 365 days a year. For the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, amen.